It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Utah, USC. The Utes battle the Trojans for a chance to play in back-to-back Rose Bowls. Pac-12 championship game coverage on The Zone is presented by UCCU. Love where you back. Right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for being with us on your Thursday afternoon. If you have not left for the Pac-12 championship game and you're driving, you got to go. You got to go. The weather is not going to cooperate tomorrow. Now, that's not a joke. That's not me making it up. That's not me having a laugh. It's already a problem, you know, as it is trying to drive down there when there's a conference championship or when there's a Rose Bowl down in L.A. Ask everybody who's trying to come back. Ask everybody who's trying to get their charging going on the way down there. The snow is going to hit tomorrow morning on I-15 between the worst part of this drive, between Scipio and Cedar City. You do not chance it. Do not try to leave tomorrow at 9 a.m. It's not going to work. Don't try to leave tomorrow at 6 and say, oh, it's going to work. It's not going to work. You're going to see all those semis stacked up along I-15 like they like to be this time of year with the bad snow. It's not convenient, but figure out a way to leave tonight. Joining us on the program right now, Antonio Morales writes for The Athletic. Fascinating piece, Antonio, that you wrote up about this about the future of college football and what now is becoming more and more clear as what a blueprint is, what Lincoln Riley's doing at USC. Bad season? Bring in everybody. New coach, new staff, new players. You can do it all in one swoop. If you're USC, it can happen, and they did it this year.
Yeah, no, obviously you have to start with Caleb Williams. So this isn't possible without him. And the quarterback just changes so much of the landscape for USC. And Utah fans saw him in the first game. And I feel like that's when he's really started taking off. And he just makes everyone around him better. And they've obviously added 17 more transfers, 18 more transfers other than him, but he's the one who kind of makes it all go. So that's what I try to mention in that story is, like, there's going to be a lot of teams. Like, I know Miami, Mario Cristobal will probably try to emulate what Lincoln Riley did this offseason. But unless you have a quarterback like Caleb Williams, it's going to be hard to do.
Well, you know, you mentioned the quarterback, and you mentioned, you know, getting guys in. And, yeah, you hit the – you know, if you win the lottery on getting a guy who's a Heisman hopeful immediately when he comes in, and we said the same thing about Caleb Williams, where you're like, yeah, he had a nice year last year at Oklahoma when he came in. And even in the games prior to running up to playing Utah, I think we looked at him and we went, yeah, he's talented, man. He throws, he runs, he's great. When we saw him in person, it was this weird thing where we were like, this in person is way more insane. Is that it's maybe more pronounced for him than I've ever seen in anybody.
It's funny because leading up to that Utah game, I was like, he's having a nice season, but he had kind of quiet games against Oregon State and Washington State. So I was like, how is he going to handle Utah, the road environment? And then he played one of his best games of the season, or his best game of the season at that point against Utah. And like I said earlier, ever since then, it's just, you know, something flipped or a light flicked on, and he's just been kind of unstoppable ever since then. And it's been kind of crazy to watch his progression throughout the course of the season. He's done a good job protecting the ball throughout the course of the year. But He's just added so much more responsibility with Travis Dye being out after the Utah game. Jordan Addison and Mario Williams missed a couple of games. He's playing with a defense that isn't very good. But, you know, despite all the weight on his shoulders, he's responded, you know, so well. And that's going to be another tall ask for him on Friday night.
Antonio Morales joining us from The Athletic. The piece that he wrote up most recently was about just how this rebuild went with USC and on the cusp of a college football playoff, if they can get a win over Utah this weekend. Now, today, the college football playoff, you know, landscape changes totally because the Rose Bowl is going to play ball, and they're going to, for the next couple of years, they're going to make this kind of pave the way for everything to work now for a 12-team playoff. And I think that it's interesting because on the one hand, you have this article about, look, you can throw – there is no rebuild anymore. If you're at a big school, you are expected to make it work now. And yet, at the same time, we're telling everybody on the other side, hey, 12-team playoff means, hey, even your team's available to maybe win the college football national championship, which is also not necessarily true. But, you know, when you have those two things going on at the same time, how awesome is a 12-team playoff, but at the same with the way that things could work with the transfer portal, is it just going to still be the same old guys winning the national championship, even with
two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night?
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 12-team playoff.
I think it's going to be hard just because for new teams to win, just because you have to win three or four games in a row, and a lot of these schools don't have the depth to do that. Like if USC were to make the playoffs this year, I have a hard time seeing them win two games in a row against a Georgia and or a Michigan, just because they don't have the depth along the line of scrimmage to win two games in a row like that. It's hard. I feel like Ohio State, you know, for all the talent they have, and Utah went toe-to-toe with them last year, would they have been able to win another game a week after that physical game against Utah?
Right.
We saw them struggle with Michigan last week. Will they be able to beat Georgia one week and Alabama the next? It's tough right now. Unless I would want to see how it affects recruiting, and maybe if it spreads out the talent a little more, where kids are like, "Oh, I can go to the playoff," you know, at a school that's not Georgia or Alabama. If it spreads out in recruiting a little bit, then I could see maybe where it shifts. But as it stands right now, I still think we'll see some of the top schools still kind of rule the roost.
Antonio Morales from the Athletic joining us. Now let's get to this this championship game this weekend. What did USC learn about themselves in that first game? You said Caleb Williams like really started to turn it on in that game against Utah, and they come up short in that one. But he, you know, they came out popping, and they were up by a lot really early against this Utah team. What did they learn about themselves in that game? What did they learn about Utah in that game?
Yeah, I think, you know, all offseason, I feel like people had that game circled on their calendars. I know a lot of people expected USC to lose. And I think they felt they didn't win. But if they didn't, like, in a loss, I feel like they probably felt as good as they could have. Like, they led the game for about 58 minutes. The only time Utah led was when they took that two-point conversion at the end and scored. Mm-hmm. And that was like 50 seconds left. And considering the circumstances, an emotional night at Utah honoring Aaron Lowe and Ty Jordan. Utah was just coming off the UCLA loss, so they were kind of fighting for their lives in the Pac-12 title game. There was a lot they were playing for, and USC went toe-to-toe and led for about 58 minutes of that game. So I came away. I didn't really believe in the USC college football playoff contender thing until a couple weeks ago. But I think that night impressed me in terms of what they could do, because I don't know if any other program in the Pac-12, any other team would have won at Utah that night, and they almost did. So I think I learned a lot, and just, you know, how they're able to handle the situations. You know, I think it made them more battle tested for games like UCLA and Notre Dame down the road.
Does it end up being a different result this weekend then in Vegas? I know it's not the home crowd, but certainly both teams are going to be sending a loud contingency, and Utah always travels well down there to Vegas. So what's going to be the difference? So what's really going to be the thing that makes it to where USC can either get the W or Utah repeats against USC?
Well, I think it's going to have to come down to Cam Rising, and can he play like that again? Part of me is like, he had, you know, probably the game of his life against USC the last time around, and can he do that again? And can he match Caleb Williams, you know, score for score? And part of me is thinking, no, he can't. But then a part of me is saying, you know, USC's pass defense hasn't been good, and it's made Drew Pine and Notre Dame and Jack Plummer look like all-stars. And Cam Rising is definitely better than those guys. I think it's going to come down to whether USC can disrupt him more than they did the first game. I know USC fans are clinging to the roughing the passer calls, but you know, those are two plays out of the however many times Cam Rising dropped back. It didn't really affect him much. I think
right. If
this game is going to change, it's going to have to be Tuatua Vailoa. He had a quiet game the first time around. I think he's going to have to be more disruptive, and they're going to have to affect Cam Rising a bit more.
Antonio, we appreciate it. Antonio Morales covers USC for The Athletic. Thanks for hanging out with us, and have fun at the game this weekend.
All right, thanks.
All right, appreciate it. I'll take the break here. Davis Vision extending its Black Friday sale. There are a couple slots available if you want to get LASIK and you want to get their best offer of the year from Davis Vision. $1,400 off of LASIK right now in December. It's a great time to get those savings done. Spend that FSA money. Let's get it going. Davis Vision offers flexible, no-interest financing as well on top of it. Check them out, DavisVisionMD.com. That's DavisVisionMD.com. Save as much money as they do all year long at Davis Vision for that Black Friday LASIK sale. We'll come back. We've got more to go around the corner. Our What Are the Odds are upon us. We've got some stuff to throw out there, and we want you to participate. So there you go. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Stay with us.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.